I don't think it is much of a poignant observation to point out that we have become, we've really struggled in our culture to listen lately. Not just on social media, not just to people who disagree with us or different perspectives that challenge us, but just in general. How often have you had the experience where someone that you care about, someone who's important in your life, has said, "Did you hear what I just said?" And you look up from your phone or your TV or whatever device you've been distracted by, and you realize that something important was being communicated, apparently, and you didn't hear it because you were distracted. You were, pulled away from the moment by whatever was in that space. I think we've all had that experience. And if that is how difficult it is for us to listen to people that we care about, people that we respect, who are bodily with us, how much more difficult is it for us to hear from God? I think most people that I've ever met struggle to hear from God, even if they're trying to listen, even if they make that a priority. People say it's difficult to hear from God. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Today is Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of Holy Week. And today remembers when Jesus entered into Jerusalem to begin his last week. Palm Sunday begins with what we call the triumphal entry. It ends with Good Friday with Jesus' crucifixion. And so to try to understand what Palm Sunday represented, I mean, there's what happened and then what it meant, right? So what happened is Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and people were lined up on the road. They were waving palm branches and saying Hosanna and singing all of these songs. There were the songs of the old kings of Israel. So that's what happened. But to understand what it means, why it was important, try this little thought experiment with me. Imagine that America had been conquered by a foreign nation, right? And that someone had been going around the country talking about, you know, liberty and justice for all and all these American ideals that we have. And people began to wonder, maybe if this guy's like going to come in and start a new revolution, right? Throw off the oppressors. And then the week of 4th of July, he goes to Washington, D.C. And he drives into the city. And people are all these Americans are lined up and they're waving American flags. And they're singing songs like My Country, Tis of Thee or Battle Hymn of the Republic or the Star-Spangled Banner, right? You would understand pretty easily that people thought something was going down, right? That there was some kind of a revolution brewing, that whoever this guy is, that he thinks maybe he's the new president or new George Washington or something like that. Well, that's basically what Palm Sunday felt like. When Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem and they're waving palm branches and they're singing all of these songs from King David, right? A lot of people were expecting that Jesus is finally the long-awaited Messiah. But only 6 days later, he's crucified. And of course, that was Jesus' plan all along, but what I want to focus on today is the fact that basically everyone except for Jesus totally missed that plan, right? I mean, he told his disciples on multiple occasions, hey, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and when I get there, I'm going to be crucified. And yet, when he is arrested, they are terrified. They flee. Some of them publicly deny that they've ever even heard of him. Right? The crowds who welcomed him, who were waving those branches, who were singing all of those songs, they welcome him into the city as the conquering king who's finally going to cast off the Roman Empire and restore God's rule. And 6 days later, they're chanting for Rome to kill him, to execute him as a traitor to the Roman Empire. That is a huge spin, a huge 180-degree turn in a very short amount of time. How could that have happened? Like, how could people have gotten Jesus so wrong? How could they have missed what he was playing about, that he was going to get crucified? Well, that's obviously, you can imagine this is a very complicated question, right? But at the heart of the question, there is this failure to listen to him. People were deaf to what Jesus was saying because they had their own preconceived notions of who the Messiah was, of who God was, of what the Messiah would do when he came. And rather than hearing Jesus for who he was, rather than taking God at his word, they let their own preconceived false images of God supersede that, and it made them deaf to what God was really saying to them. So today we're going to talk about listening to God. And we're going to explore the possibility that we too have false images, false expectations of God. And in fact, we are maybe unable to hear what God is saying to us because we have been deaf, we have been made deaf by these false images. So we're going to try to listen for God. We're gonna see what it takes to create space in our lives to hear God speaking to us. So we're gonna sing a couple of songs together. If you would stand with me and sing, and as we're singing, just think about your picture of God. Think about in your mind what's important to God. What does God value? What does God want from you? And where might be God speaking in your life that you miss that? So stand and sing with us. This is the last Sunday of Lent. And Lent is the season in the church year that we set aside to do some serious self-examination, to really explore the dark corners of our spirits, of our hearts, of our minds, and find the sin that is resting in there so that we can bring it into the light of God's truth, confess it, and admit our need for rescue. So in light of that, our Lent series this year was called Lent is for Losers. We called it that because you can't really go on a Lenten journey unless you admit that you are a sinner, that you need rescue, that you're a loser, that you failed in life. People who are not able to admit that can't really embrace Lent. And so we just started out and said, okay, we're just going to start from the beginning. As Jesus said, only the sick need a doctor. And so for us this year, Lent was all about admitting that we're sick, admitting that we need God's help. We began the series, if you were here with us all the way back, I think that was in February, then that we started in the Garden of Eden and we saw that first sin was really a failure of faith. We were unable to trust that God wanted what was good for us. We were convinced that God had some kind of a secret agenda, that when God promised life, it wasn't really life, that we thought that God was holding out on us, and so it was a failure of our faith. Next, we have a man named Abram, who God called, and God promised that he would bless all the world through his descendants if only Abram would respond in faith. We saw that Abram didn't bring any qualifications or credentials to the table, that there was nothing about God's call of him that was about who Abram had been, that God's call was all about who God was going to make Abram to be. So we looked at our own calling and how what God asks of us is not that we be perfect or even good. It's that we respond in faith and trust that God will do great things as he promised he would. After that, we met Abram's descendants after they had been freed from slavery and were wandering in the wilderness. And we saw that again, for a while, things were okay. But when life got hard, they began to question God's goodness. They began to question God's trustworthiness. And so in that week, we saw that the faith that God calls us to is one that is not based on our experiences or on our feelings, but on God's character, that we trust because we believe God is good, not because of whatever we're experiencing in our lives. And then after that, we met Israel's second king, David, because the first king, like Israel, had failed to be faithful. And so we saw that God chose David, even as a young boy, again, within the absence of any kinds of qualifications. And what we saw in that week is that even God's prophets and God's kings often miss God's perspective. They often don't see the world the way God is seeing the world. So if even the prophets and the kings need to stop and wait for God to show them truth, how much more do we need to be faithful to wait for God, not to rush ahead and assume that we already know what is good? Last week, we met the prophet Ezekiel, who was speaking to God's people after they had yet again failed to be faithful and had faced cultural devastation in the exile. And Ezekiel was shown a vision of a valley full of old, dry, dead bones, the bones of the faithless. And God asked him, can these bones live? Do you believe that I can do a resurrecting work? And so we saw last week that there are sins that all of us carry deep in our bones that we feel that make us a hopeless case, that the best we can do is sort of sin management. And yet God has offered us new life, resurrection power to be transformed from our DNA outward, if only we will believe and respond in faith. And so this week we're going to talk about listening for God. We're going to acknowledge that there are so many voices in our culture that drown out God, that offer us false pictures of who God is and what God wants for us. And that what God calls us to ultimately is clearing space in our lives, creating space so that we can listen for God, because we can't listen to God, we can't obey God, we can't respond to God in faith unless we stop and listen for God to speak to us. And so we're going to talk this morning about how do we make space to listen for God's voice, right? So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50. If you grab one of the free Bibles out of the back, you can find that on page 435. And if you don't own a Bible, please keep it, consider a gift from us. As you're turning to Isaiah chapter 50, if you were with us the first part of the year during the season of Epiphany, we spent a couple of weeks looking at what are called the servant songs in Isaiah. There are these songs that a prophet wrote a long time ago that are really poems about an ideal follower of God, someone who's always faithful, someone who always does what God is calling them to do. And even then, we looked at two of the songs back in Epiphany. This is the third of four total servant songs that we're going to be reading out of today. And what we see in these songs is even who God calls us to be. It's an ideal picture of who we could be. But when we read these songs, we realize how short we fall of who God has called us to be, how much we've missed the mark in being the people that God has called us to be. So even as we see this picture of our calling, it also then calls out our sin, our failure in our lives. So we're going to read this, and it talks a lot about God speaking to the prophet and when God talks to us. And so we're going to read this with those kinds of ears, right? The ears that so often miss God's voice because of the clutter in our lives. So let's begin in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah says, "The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning he wakes me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone and determined to do his will, and I know that I will not be put to shame. He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare bring charges against me? Now, where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty?" The prophet says, every morning I wake up and God is speaking to me. Who here can say that every morning they wake up listening for God? I certainly cannot say that. I usually wake up pretty grumpy, right? And yet here the prophet says, every morning God is speaking and I'm listening and I hear what God says. And for the prophet, when God speaks, he listens. And he obeys. He does what God calls him to do, even when it results in mockery, in abuse. Again, who of us can say that we've never kept our mouth shut when we knew we should speak up? Who among us can say that we've never been quiet because of public opinion? We've been afraid to look like an outsider, like a loser, like a weirdo. We've all been there. And when we see this prophet, this ideal picture of faithfulness, saying, like, I don't care what it costs me. I'm faithful to God. I do what God tells me to do. I say what God tells me to say. We recognize our own shortcomings. We recognize our own failures. We maybe go a little bit easier on the disciples during Holy Week, on their faithlessness towards God. Because they were afraid of public opinion too. They were afraid of the abuse that Jesus actually received. After Jesus' resurrection, these servant songs were some of the passages in the Old Testament that Jesus' followers went to understand what he was about. And they saw in these songs of a faithful follower of God, Jesus' own witness, that Jesus was faithful to God even when it took him to the cross. That Jesus spoke up no matter what it cost him. That he defended the cause of the outcast and the weak and the oppressed, no matter what. The prophet says that God is not going to let him be disgraced, that God is going to come and bring him justice, that God will not let him be put to shame. And the Christians saw in that promise Jesus' resurrection. Because on Good Friday, when Jesus was crucified, plenty of people were pointing at Jesus and saying, well, if you needed proof that he was not a man of God, there it is. God would not let anyone suffer that kind of fate. And yet when Jesus is raised from the dead on Easter Sunday, 3 days later, Christians looked at that as vindication of Jesus' words. It was proof that God really was with him, that he was really speaking for God because God raised him from the dead, because God would not even let death defeat his faithful witness. The resurrection was their proof. And it's our hope. The hope for all of us who are more like the disciples than we are like Jesus. All of us who read the servant's song and see, yes, a calling, but also indication of how we have been faithless, how we have fallen short, how we have failed to listen for God, how we have failed to listen to God. Friends, we are surrounded, bombarded by voices who tell us who God is, who tell us what God wants for us, who tell us God's will for us. So many voices that we miss the God calling to us from the cross. There are voices in our culture that tell us that God is distant, uncaring, that God is powerless or uninterested in helping us. And yet we look at the God crucified on the cross, and we see a God who cares fiercely and passionately and will go to any lengths, even death, to rescue us. On the other end of the spectrum, there are people who tell us that God wants us to be healthy and wealthy, right? That what God really wants is for us to be successful and hashtag blessed. And yet we look at the cross, the God crucified on the cross, and it's hard to see the cross as a sign of wealth and health and hashtag blessedness. Most of us are probably between those two extremes, right? We're somewhere in the middle. We're pretty comfortable. We have a pretty good life. And mostly we try to ignore the cries of those on the margins, those who are suffering, those who are vulnerable in our culture. And yet when we see God crucified on the cross, we realize that if God were content to ignore the vulnerable, God would never have left heaven in the first place. We're told God helps those who help themselves. It's everyone's favorite Bible verse that's not actually in the Bible. And yet, when we see God crucified on the cross, we are forced to admit that the whole point of the cross is that we were totally helpless, that we could not help ourselves, that we had no bootstraps by which to pull ourselves up. And if God had not intervened in our world, we'd be lost, hopeless, outcast. Some of us are convinced that what God wants for us is a safe, comfortable life, that God is primarily concerned that we are able to go about our business and not be overly bothered. And yet, when we come face to face with the God crucified on the cross, it is difficult to imagine how that faith can be safe, can be comfortable, can be free from risk. Friends, since Jesus was crucified, Christians have said that it is on the cross that God is most fully revealed. If you have any question about the picture of God that you have in your head, you bring it to the cross and you put it beside the crucified God, and wherever it doesn't measure up, that's false. It's lies. It's wrong. The cross is where God is most fully revealed to us. And so if we are to hear God's voice, we must follow God's call to the cross. And this is where it gets difficult, because we like to imagine a God who only says kind things to us, right? A God who only speaks grace to us. And yet we know that sometimes grace is hard to receive. I hope you all have someone in your lives that has loved you enough at some point to sit you down and tell you difficult things that you did not want to hear, but that you needed to hear. That is a difficult grace. Words spoken out of love, love deep enough that they are willing to risk offending, but willing to risk it for your betterment. So if we are to listen to the God who calls us out of death into life, who calls us out of the valley of dry bones into resurrection, the God who calls us from the crossroads to the promised land, then we must be willing to hear the difficult words that God speaks to us. We must be ready to hear a God who calls us, yes, to the empty tomb, but on a road that leads to the cross. If we're not willing to do that, then we will not hear from God. If we are willing to do that, if we are willing to obey God, even when God says hard things to us, then the question we have to ask is, how do we make that space? How do we make sure that the voice that we're hearing is God's and not the voices that are drowning us out? And this is where the Christian practice of silence comes in. It is just what it sounds like. It's being quiet. For thousands of years, Christians have just cleared away the clutter and sat in silence and waited for God to speak. You know, it was a little easier when you lived in a monastery in the desert, right? Now we have phones and tablets and TVs and kids and all kinds of distractions, right, weighing in on us. And yet, if we will commit to clearing out those distractions, even just for a few moments in a day and sitting in silence, we can begin to hear God's voice. This is something that really hits me where I live, so to speak. I'm a always on type A kind of a person. I have a lot of, you know, a lot. I'm always spinning a lot of plates and doing a lot of stuff, and I like that. Like, it makes me feel, you know, I don't like to be bored. And during this Lent season, I decided that I needed to slow down and I needed to create some space so that God could speak to me. So I decided my Lenten practice this year was I was going to spend some time with a prayer book every morning. I have this little prayer book that has prayers and scriptures for each day. And so I've been spending about 15 minutes every morning in prayer, reading scripture, and in silence, just sort of sitting and waiting. And I've been shocked that I actually did find 15 whole minutes in my day that I could put there, right? But it's been amazing to me that God has spoken. And I got to tell you, I didn't do it all 40 days of Lent, okay? I failed at that. And God hasn't spoken to me. It's not like every day when I open my prayer book, the lights of heaven shine down and the choirs of angels start singing and I'm just revealing the truth of the universe to anyone who will listen. It's nothing like that. But often I have been able to discern the voice of God speaking to me, inviting me to take the next right step of faith for that day. It's been a beautiful thing how just taking that time of silence has reframed even how I operate and look throughout the day. What I'm able to do in the world because I have stopped and listened for God to speak. I haven't rushed ahead assuming, you know, I'm a pastor, I got this. I know what I'm doing. Friends, we cannot listen to God unless we listen for God. We can't hear God's voice unless we stop and listen for God's voice. And particularly at the beginning of Holy Week, as we set ourselves towards the cross. This is a week that we need to prepare ourselves to hear the voice of God. And so at the end of our time together today, I'm going to give you a silence homework assignment. Okay, we'll get there. But before we do that, I want us to approach the communion table. Because this table invites us to the meal that Jesus shared with his followers the night before Good Friday, the night before he was killed. At that meal, when he broke bread for them and he said, "This is my body, it's broken for you, eat it." He passed a cup of wine and he said, "This is my blood. It's poured out for you. It's a new covenant between you and God. It's for the forgiveness of sin. Drink it." And even then, even around that table, they missed it. They weren't listening. Friends, let's not make that same mistake. Let's come to the communion table as a people of the cross. Let's refuse any images of God that do not look like Jesus crucified. To prepare ourselves to approach the table today, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of examine and then a corporate confession of sin. The prayer of examine is four questions where I invite you to reflect on. I'm actually going to ask you to think about the whole 6 weeks of Lent that has brought you here. And then the week of Holy Week ahead of us. And we're going to go through the first three questions more quickly than usual, and then we're going to have an uncomfortably long period of silence for the last one. I'm just warning you ahead of time, okay? After we've done the prayer of examine, I'm going to lead you into a corporate confession of sin, where we're just going to confess as a body of people that this is something that we have not done well. And we're going to confess our failure and ask for God's forgiveness. And then after that, I'll pray for us, and then you're welcome to come to the table. You don't have to be a member of Catalyst to receive communion today. If you are willing to listen for God, if you are willing to wait for the crucified God to speak to you, to invite you to follow him to the cross, and if you're willing to take the next right step in your faith journey, then you're welcome to come forward today. Okay? So let's begin with the prayer of examine. Here's the first question. Think back about the last 6 weeks. When in the last 6 weeks have you heard God's voice clearly? When was the time that you just knew what your next right step was? It was clear to you. What in the last 6 weeks has distracted you from listening for God's voice? Now think about this week that's ahead of us. When in this next week, this holy week, might you be distracted from listening for God's voice? What might distract you in this next week? Finally, how can you listen for God's voice during this holy week? How can you create some space to listen for God so that you can listen to God? Move into a corporate confession of sin. I'm going to read some confession and then you'll respond as you feel comfortable. We live in a loud world with many shouting false gods at us. We have not stopped to listen to your voice. We have ignored your voice, calling us to the responsibility of living in your freedom. We have stained our souls by our action and inaction. We are broken by disease, bruised by the sins of others, weakened and unable to repair ourselves. We ignore your call to center our lives in you, and so are deaf to the hopes and cries of the poor, the sick, the needy, and the earth. When we confess our sinful ways, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven.
I'm going to pray for us for communion, and then we're going to sing another song together, a song that says Hosanna in it. It's the word that they were singing when they were waving the palm branches. And the kids are going to come in and be waving palm branches to help get us in the Palm Sunday spirit. But I want to challenge you, as we're singing together, as we're enjoying the palm waving and all of that, that we would celebrate Jesus not as a triumphalist conquering king, but as the one who is crucified, the one who makes peace through his sacrifice. So I'm going to pray for us, and then as you're ready, you're welcome to come forward and receive communion. God, we come before you today and we confess that it is difficult to hear your voice. We live in a world of many, many distractions. There's so many different people with their own agendas, telling us who you are and what you care about and what you want from us. And too often we forget to bring those voices to your cross, that we might hear you calling us to come and die with you. We confess too often that we want a faith that is the joy of the resurrection without the pain of the cross. And yet your call to pick up our own crosses and to follow you is undeniable. And so we come to your communion table today. We ask for your Spirit to give us the courage to follow your voice. We ask for ears to hear you calling us clearly. We ask that these wafers and juice would become a spiritual food that nourishes us, that brings us to the foot of your cross, and that sends us back into your world as agents of peace. This week has been filled with stories of people who are suffering around our world, and we don't know what to do about Syria. We don't know what to do about Egypt. We don't even know what to do so often in our own relationships, in our own jobs, in our own lives. But we know that you are faithful. Again and again and again in this season of Lent, we have seen that you do not call us to have all the answers. You do not call us to know anything except your faithfulness and your trustworthiness. You call us to take the next right step toward you, and the next right step after that, and the next right step after that. And so, we come to your table this morning as a people hungry and thirsty for your faithfulness. We ask that you would send us from here into the world as agents of your peace, your hope, your love. We offer these prayers and we approach your table in the powerful, peacemaking, crucified name of your Son, Jesus. And I've told you I was going to give you homework. That's true. As you're going into this holy week, I want to challenge you to create space every day this week to listen for God's voice, to listen for how God is calling you towards the cross, which we're going to see together on Good Friday. And so here's how I want you to do that. Find 10 minutes in your day that you can just sit in silence. Okay? I know that sounds like an interminably long amount of time. It will feel like that. Okay? It will, because we're just not used to that. But I promise you, as Isaiah said, God is speaking to us every day. And if you will create some space in your life to listen for God, you will hear God speak. You will be able to listen to God. You will be able to take the next right step in your faith. And God will continue to make you into a person who is bringing life and hope and peace into the world around you. And friends, we live in a world that needs those things. So as you go this week, go confident that the God who called you is still speaking to you and is calling you to life. So go in the grace and peace of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you on Good Friday and then again on Easter Sunday morning.